place your hand on his Bible when you swear to tell the truth.
His name is on our greatest monuments, on our money too.
When we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt where we stand.
There's no separation. We're one nation under him. In God we still trust. Here in America, he's the one we turn to. Every time the going gets rough, he is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us.
Appreciate the good music. Psalm 78 in your Bible, Psalm 78. And yes, I am fully aware that it is now 11:20. And I think that's what the clock up there says. I don't see well. No, I'm just teasing you. It's 11:45. Brother Greg, it went too far down on the platform, almost non-existent. So if you can help us with that, that would be a blessing. Now, I anticipate this every Youth Emphasis Day. We have a short message on this Sunday morning because of all the things that we would normally do, and even a little bit more lengthy this morning because of the visiting college group. But I'm glad they're here because this engulfs every age group from college down to teenage, down to the little children that will be represented here today as we have Youth Emphasis Day. Now, I was going to read Psalm 78 verses 1 through 8, but I'm going to cut it back and we're going to pick it up beginning in verse number 4. And you thought normally we would stand, but we won't do that. We'll just jump right in. Look at verse number 4. Now, the psalmist said, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." You kind of get the idea here, if you read along carefully, that the works and praises and truths of God were not to be kept in one generation. They're to be passed on and passed on and passed on and passed on. Let me speak for a minute or two. Now, I mean that seriously. Let me speak for a moment or two on this subject for the generation to come. Father, thank You for all that we've enjoyed this morning. Now, please help me. You know the time that I have left. to preach today, and you know what needs to be emphasized, what needs to be left out. So I commit it to you, give it to your keeping and care, pray for your power, blessing, and help, and I'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Youth Emphasis Day is set aside every year for the purpose of stressing the importance of children's ministry here at our church. And there's a ton of great effort, much time and money that goes into the lives of the children continually. That includes our children, the children who grew up here as part of our church, and as many others as we can reach from the area, as many as we can get to come on those buses. And I said earlier, I'll say again, I'm grateful for the dozens and dozens of people who willingly sacrifice to some degree so that we can minister to children every week. To those who work in the nursery or bus ministry or Sunday school or King's Kids or summer camp or vacation Bible school or junior church or primary church, and I probably left something out, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I am thankful for your willingness to participate in passing on God's truth to young people. But truthfully, church, we don't really have a choice in that matter. What we are doing is simply commanded by God. To neglect our duty in this would be disobedience to the plain command of God. As we taught here, not only in this place, but other places in the Scripture. Now, Psalm 78 is what is called a maskil. If you look at the very start of the psalm, at the beginning or the heading, you'll see that, a maskil of Asaph. There are 13 of these type psalms in the book of Psalms. The word maskil means instructive. It is for the purpose of teaching doctrines and precepts and principles that are contained in that particular chapter. Well, you say, well, Pastor, that's true about the entire book of God. Yes, I understand that, but remember this. Psalms is a book of songs. These weren't Bible lessons that were to be taught in a Sunday school setting or preached in the synagogue. These were songs that were to be sung in the worship of God amongst the Jewish people. But these 13 particular songs weren't given just to be sung in worship. They were also to be used to instruct and teach God's people. So this psalm is more than just a recollection of Israel's history. It is foremost a continual reminder of the responsibility to pass on the truth of God from one generation to another, to future generations, from this generation to the next, and from that generation to the next, and on it goes. Now look at verse number 5, because this is the heart of my message this morning. Here is the responsibility to pass on the great truths about God to future generations. Look at verse 5. For He established a testimony in Jacob, and He appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their generation, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born. So whatever He wrote in verse number 5 particularly is what God commanded the fathers to pass on. And when those children learned it, they were to pass it on to the next group of children and so forth and so on down through history for the generation to come. And I want to point out two things here about verse number 5 to you that I think God was especially, that were especially important to God that these things were to be passed on to the next generation. Look at what He said in verse number 5 at the beginning of the verse. For He established a testimony in Jacob. Now, what's He talking about there? A testimony in Jacob is a reference to how God moved and worked in and among the patriarchs. But now, hang with me. Not just Jacob, but his father Isaac. And not just Isaac, but his father Abraham. Not just Jacob, but his son Joseph. Ultimately, here, the testimony that God established was with His people. The Hebrew people, okay? The people of God. He established a testimony among the people of God. The Hebrew people, His chosen people. The testimony or witness that God established was the truth that He, Jehovah God, was the one true God and there was and is no other. Now that's the truth that He established. You see, Abraham forsook the idolatrous false gods of the heathen people around him. And he believed in God as the one true God. And beginning with Abraham, God revealed Himself as the one true God to His people. And the belief in one true God was passed down from generation to generation as God continued to work in great ways to prove His reality, to prove His love, to prove His power amongst His people. God did wondrous works to prove to the people that He was the one true God and there was no other. God established a strong, incredible witness or testimony about His relationship between Him and the people. And the testimony of that relationship was to be passed on to the generations to come. Folks, nine times in the Old Testament, you'll read where God said this, I am the Lord, or I am God, and there is none else. 9 times. I love Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my power, my promise, to graven images. This was the testimony that God established among His people. There's only one God. Only one God. And I am your God. And there is none else. And I'm not going to share my glory. I'm not going to share my power with any other graven image or any other false god. That was the testimony He established. Now you say, Pastor, you know, some people might question, well, how does this apply to us living in 21st century America? Well, folks, are you born again? If you're saved, your lineage goes back further than the founding fathers of this country. We trace our heritage, we trace our lineage back to Abraham. He is our spiritual father. We are His seed. And just like it was important for Abraham's physical children to know and believe that there was one God and only one, it's just as important for Abraham's spiritual children to know and believe the same and pass it down to the next generation. Pass it down to the next generation. Pass it down to the next generation. I tell you, our country is reeling spiritually. And diversity and tolerance, the diversity and the tolerance that is being touted as being so important is contributing to the spiritual decline. Now, they sang about it. I didn't know what they were going to sing. I had no idea they would sing a song like they sang this morning about our country and the Bible and so forth and so on. I didn't know what they were singing when God put this message together. But people, I know I'm preaching to the choir a little bit, but I'm enjoying it. Let me just do that, okay? When the phrase "one nation under God" was originally penned, there was never a question as to what God was being referenced. There was not a reference to Allah or any other. There was no question as to which God was being referenced. Don't get started on this business of, well, you know, there was Muslims and blah, blah, and all, you know. Don't get started. Don't get started on that unless you do your homework. Did you ever get started in talking to somebody on a particular subject and realize when you got into it, you were way over your head? Because I'm going to tell you what if you start studying document after document after document after document after document, you get my drift this morning, after document, from the beginning of our nation's existence referred to God, and it was a given that God was Jehovah God, the God of Israel, who had a son named Jesus and a book called the Holy Bible. That was given when they had the first Constitutional Convention or Constitutional Congress, the 13 colonies that sent representatives there. Most of them had to sign a statement saying that they believed in God, His Son Jesus, and God's book, the Holy Bible, to even be allowed into the convention. You pass down from one generation to the other the testimony that I established in my people, Jacob, not just a single man, representing the people of God, the children of Israel. You pass down this testimony that I established. There is one God and none other. And instead of creating confusion, that simplifies everything. There's one God. That was the testimony. That was the testimony. The children ought to be taught. That means the next generation needs to be taught there's one God. Away with all this baloney. Well, there's a bunch of different gods and all roads lead eventually to the same place. That is junk. There's no basis for that. That's just somebody's make-believe, dreamed-up thing. This is what's supposed to be passed on. Hey, kids, there's one God. And it's not Allah. And it's not Confucius. And it's not Buddha. There's one God. His name is God, the Father, Jehovah God. He had one son named Jesus. Had a book called the Holy Bible. That's what's supposed to be passed on from generation to generation. My wife and I, when our kids were little, we had devotions with them. I would say, now the kids are here this morning, some of them, two of them. And you can ask them, but I would say that we had devotions in a seven-day period. Most weeks we had devotions, family devotions, five nights out of seven. We didn't have devotions on Wednesday or Sunday. And they weren't 30-minute preaching services. They weren't invitation and mourner's bench. I should have taken an offering a few times, but anyway. But, one thing we did every night, we said it together. The Bible is the Word of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Every word in the Bible is true. The Bible is the Word of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Every word in the Bible is true. The Bible is the Word of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Every word in the Bible is true. So what are you trying to do? Brainwash them? Yes, so somebody else doesn't. So some other school doesn't. Somebody else doesn't. I'm trying to brainwash them with truth. And that's what's supposed to be passed on from generation to generation. The testimony that was established was there's one God and only one. I love it when the little boys and girls sing, one God and only one. No, that's one door. No, that's a different song. Here we go. Let's move on here. Number two. Oh, boy. Stick to your notes, angel. Stick to your notes. An established testimony. Number two, an appointed law. Look at verse number five. An established testimony, but then also, and appointed a law in Israel. Now, not only did God have an established... Look what it says, folks. He established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them, the testimony and the law, known to their children. You see the context of the verse? Okay, now. Not only did God have an established witness that He wanted passed on, He had an appointed law. You say, well, Brother Terry, that's talking about the whole law that God gave, the book of God that God gave to His people. Yes, but it may be a reference to something more specific than the whole law. Because listen to how Jesus responded to a question from a Bible scholar in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 38. Master, which is the great commandment, listen, in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. People, I believe the appointed law is for us to love God with all of our being. That is the appointed law. That is the first and greatest law according to the Scripture. Now somebody might think, man, it's a pretty difficult task to force someone by law to love God, isn't it? Well, it would be difficult if God were a selfish, removed, reclusive, harsh, demanding, and spiteful God. But the one true God is the exact opposite of all those ugly characteristics. God is love. And we love Him because He first loved us. That's the appointed law. The truth is, when we teach about the one true God in the right way, hearts are drawn to Christ. Hearts are drawn to God, not pushed from Him. We have a huge responsibility, but also the unbelievable privilege to teach the next generation about loving God and how loving God is and the fact that we're to respond to that love by loving Him back. Now, folks, what we have in Psalm 78:5 is a repeat of Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There's your established testimony. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy... thou shalt love the Lord with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That is the appointed law. And Jesus repeated it in the New Testament. Here it is. What do you pass down from one generation to the other? If you've got to narrow it down to two things, what do you pass down? One God, love Him. One God, love Him. One God, love Him. one God. And love Him means serve Him. And love Him means worship Him. And love Him means glorify Him. And love Him means exalt Him. And you know why it's easy to do that, folks? Because He loves us so very, very much, so very much. If there was ever a time for these truths to be nailed down and engraved in the hearts and minds of the next generation, it's now. Now, we have come full circle, and we're living in a society of people who believe in a plurality of gods. In fact, the most popular God in our nation is self. That's number one. And we are encouraged to love self above all others. We are in the times of the judges where the Bible says in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I was thinking about this week. I'm done. And I forget where I was when I started thinking about this. I was somewhere and I was sitting in a vehicle. Maybe some folks were passing by at a store or something. I was waiting to drive my truck. The looks on people's faces. People are so unhappy. And so burdened. And in some cases, they're so confused. Because we fumbled the ball somewhere in passing down that there's one God and only one. Love Him. Love Him. One God. Not a plurality. One. Love Him with all your heart, mind, and soul. And you know what, folks? If that's all a generation learns and that's all a generation practices, they'll be a pretty blessed generation. A real blessed generation. For the generation to come, God said, I want you to pass down a testimony that I established among my people. There's only one God. And I want you to pass down a pointed law. Love me. More than God wants anything else from me and you, He wants our love. Just love Him. Thank you for your attention. Let's bow together in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, it's been a good morning. I rejoice in all that we got to enjoy today. The kids coming over to sing was just put a lump in my throat. And then, Lord, these young ladies, such a good testimony of Your grace. And the songs that they sang were a blessing. And Father, the faithful church attendance of Your good people, and we're so thankful, Lord, for how You've blessed us. Lord, help us to be obedient in this area of passing down to generations to come the fact that there's only one God and we ought to love Him. More than we ought to do anything, we ought to love Him. Help us, Lord, to get it down in our own hearts, pass it down to our children that they might teach their children, they might teach the next group that comes along, that every generation ahead of us to come will be taught those vital truths. Bless our church to be faithful. Bless our homes to be faithful in those two areas. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one is looking. You know, not only do we have the responsibility here at church to do this, teach the next generation, but that's, of course, a huge responsibility of every family. Are you getting together with your children? Are you gathering them around a couple, three, four, five times a week and saying, you know what? There's only one God. He had a son named Jesus in a book called the Holy Bible. There's only one. Are you passing down that established testimony? Are you passing down that appointed law that we're supposed to love Him? Could you do a better job in your home? Should you be more diligent with your own children? How about here at church? Those of us that work with the children. Are we passing on to the generation to come these important matters? I wonder who's here this morning would say, Pastor, during the message, I think about my own home. I think about my Sunday school class. I think about the kids I have to work with. I think about my grandchildren. I think about children that I have the opportunity to influence. My heart was stirred this morning about the responsibility, the privilege to pass on to them the established testimony, the appointed law. There's one God. Let's love Him. But God spoke to my heart about that. Would you slip your hand in the air this morning, wherever you may be sitting? God bless you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Put your hands down. Now, let me ask this question today. Is there anybody here who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I don't know if I'd go to heaven or hell. I'm not sure that I'm a born-again child of God. Is there anybody? I'm not asking you about joining a Baptist church. That's not my intent. I'm not concerned about that at all right now. What I'm concerned about is the eternal destiny of your eternal soul. Is there somebody here this morning, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. pray for me. Could you just slip your hand in the air? I would say a quick prayer for you. Anybody like that? From side to side, front to back, upstairs or down, member or visitor, boy, girl, man or woman. I'm not sure I'm saved. If there's somebody here this morning, you've been saved but not baptized. You came for that purpose this morning, to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, or you'd like to know more about it. If you do want to come during the invitation time, speak to one of these men. If you're not saved, you could come and speak to one of these men as well. And if you came to be baptized, come right away so we can prepare and be ready for the baptism. And if God spoke to your heart about the generation to come this morning, those little children that God's given you, either at home or at church, and the opportunity to influence them, one God, love Him, then why don't you come this morning and tell God what's on your heart, how He spoke to you about it. Father, bless the invitation. I know we were rushed in the message, but God, You're not limited in how You can work. So I pray that You'll work in our hearts today. Bless and help, I pray. In Jesus' name, if there's somebody here lost, may they come to be saved. Somebody here that should be baptized, I pray they be obedient. And then, Lord, others that You've spoken to, may our hearts be tender to what You have for us. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and the ladies are playing. Would you come this morning?